NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
We'll preview the Eagles right now, the reigning NFC champions with former Eagles linebacker and now superstar radio host for Sports Radio 94 WIP in the afternoons. And that, of course, is our pal Ike Reese. Ike Juice, how you been?
What's up, Zach? How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and good on Howie Roseman this offseason, because when you have a quarterback, you got to pay them as quick as possible, because after that, Lamar Jackson got paid, the price goes up, and we just saw what Justin Herbert got at 5 years, $262.5 million.
Yeah, that's the reason why Howie's the best GM in the business. When it comes to getting deals done like this, he's not going to be last to the party. He's going to be first to the party because he knows the price tag only goes up after the first quarterback signs. So they got Jalen done early. And sure, the quarterbacks that have signed after him have made a few million dollars more. But as far as the Eagles go, they got an elite quarterback signed early, and they got him done under a team-friendly deal.
I didn't think up until this week, with the season that he just had, there was national disrespect for Jalen Hurts. But then you see that Pro Football Focus had six quarterbacks better than him, and they didn't even have him as a top 50 player in the NFL. That was just so absurd. And I got to take a grain of salt with everything PFF does, but that was ridiculous, Ike.
Yeah, I look at that two ways, Zach. I think it certainly was disrespectful for him not to be one of the 50 best players in the league coming off a MVP caliber season. He would have been the MVP had he not got injured in Chicago and missed a couple games there towards the end. He would have probably been the MVP. So he certainly deserves to be in that top 50. And that's disrespectful. The whole quarterback ranking thing, for me, I have him as the third best quarterback in the league based off what he did last year and moving forward. But I can see where some of these teams, where they're going five, six, or seven, or some of these GMs are going five, six, or seven with him. I would have him as no worse than the third, but I don't necessarily take offense to him being ranked as the seventh best or sixth best quarterback, even though I think he's ranked higher. I just don't think it's necessarily disrespectful.
Yeah, I would have him number four. I would have Mahomes, Burrow, and it's close with him and Josh Allen.
Right.
And if you want to tell me that you want to throw Rodgers in front of him, okay. But at worst, there's no way, in my opinion, that you could say he's not a top five quarterback with the year that he just had.
Yes, yes. Garrett, yeah, at worst, top five. That's at worst, he's a top five. And like I said, based on what he did last year, what he's projected to do this year, where the team is projected to be. The Eagles are one of the teams, and I say the as in capital T-H-E, teams in the NFL. When you look at their roster, when you look at their coaching staff, when you look at the quarterback, what's not to like about the Eagles moving forward? And Jalen is the engine that drives all of that. So if he had been a top 10 pick or first round draft pick, this wouldn't even be a question. I think this is still a lot of stigma that comes with being, you know, a second round draft pick where scouts may have had some doubts about him. But I don't know, and I don't know how you have any doubts about him after what he did last year.
The quarterback's phenomenal. The line is great. Dallas Goedert continues to remain criminally underrated in the NFL. The wide receivers are sensational. The only question is, and it's a good problem to have, what is Brian Johnson going to be like as an offensive coordinator? But with all that talent, I'm not really concerned.
No, I'm not concerned at all. And the best thing about that is that relationship, the working relationship and the personal relationship between Brian Johnson and Jalen Hurts, I don't know if it could be any better between a quarterback and his offensive coordinator slash quarterback coach, even though I know the title isn't quarterback coach anymore. He's the offensive coordinator, but he was the quarterback coach while Shane Steichen was here for the last 2 years. And he and Jalen have a relationship that goes well past their time as being employees of the Eagles. So I look at that and I say, I'm not really that concerned. I think Jalen and Brian are going to do great things this year together.
Let's get to the next down. Mike Reese here with us, former Eagles linebacker. That was a great job in Sports Radio 94 WIP. I know Eagles fans were happy to see Jonathan Gannon go, but in any weird way, are they going to miss him with how successful of a season the Eagles had on the defensive side of the ball outside of the Super Bowl?
I'm going to preface this by saying I was not a Jonathan Gannon naysayer, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you he was Jim Johnson or Buddy Ryan or any of those guys as a defensive coordinator. But I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap as to what he was as a coordinator overall, despite how the season ended and how the defense played in that Super Bowl. I thought he did a decent job last year. That being said, he's from the school of Vic Fangio, and so is Sean Desai. So I think the philosophy and what the Eagles want to do defensively won't change a ton, but I think allowing Sean Desai to come in and put his own little twist on what he wants to do as a defensive coordinator, how he wants his guys to play, more importantly, what type of identity he wants them to have as a defense, I think that's only going to be a good thing moving forward. I think the overall philosophy may still remain the same. They don't want to be ultra-aggressive, but I think Sean Desai will be given the freedom to at least put his own little tweaks on how he wants to approach the defensive mentality. And I think that's going to come along with some of the things we like as we like our defense to have here in Philadelphia. I love the fact that he's also coached under Pete Carroll, who's a great defensive mind. So, you know, being out there in Seattle and having that, I think he brings a plethora of things to the defensive sort of mindset on that side of the football. And I'm excited to see what it's going to be, because I really don't know exactly what they're going to look like on defense, but I'm excited to see what they can do. They certainly have a lot of talent over there, some young talent mixed with some older guys. But I can't wait till the season starts so we can see what they are.
Well, I'll tell you this. We all know Hassan Reddick is going to be a stud once again if he could stay healthy, because that's three different teams and three straight seasons with double-digit sacks. And Ike, man, I think he could make a run this year at Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to see, how Sean Desai uses him, how he uses him. And, you know, last year, you know, Reddick, you know, referred to himself as a weapon over there on defense. Like, you can use it. Not Weapon X. We're not going to go Brian Dawkins. We're not going to do that. But he referred to himself as a weapon, just meaning you can use him in different ways throughout the defense. And I'm hoping to see much more of that and maybe expanding upon that and giving Reddick a little bit more room to get after that quarterback. I know that seems a little strange to say, but he did drop back in coverage at times last year. I like to see him get after that quarterback a little bit more. He's one of the premier pass rushers in the league. And it's crazy to say he's underrated.
Yeah.
He's an underrated pass rusher, premier pass rusher in this league.
What about Jalen Carter? Year one expectations for him or what for you?
They're high. They have to be high. And here's why they have to be high. Because he doesn't get the benefit that Jordan Davis got last year, where he could come in and you're playing behind Javon Hargrave, Fletcher Cox, Milton Williams. Like, you're playing behind guys. Like, Jalen Carter, I'd be surprised if he's not a starter out there day one. And Fletcher, obviously, being the great player that he is, he's going to be out there. And I think Jordan Davis, they're going to have to find a way to rotate those three guys in there. But Jalen Carter, man, there's never been a question about his ability from a talent standpoint. Like, he could have easily been rated the best player in the draft with the highest ceiling. So we know he comes with a little bit of baggage and some things he needs to mature from and grow from that, you know, he did while he was in college. But when you're talking about talent, there's no question about the talent. If those other question marks weren't there, just about decision making off the field, there could have been an easy case that he could have been the top three draft pick in this draft, and the Eagles may not have had the chance to get Jalen Carter. That's how good he is as a player.
Let's get to the next down. Ike Reese here with us. Going back to the offense, Ike, The running back position. I know by committee is the way that it works in the NFL now. Rashad Penny has dealt with his injuries. DeAndre Swift as well. I thought Miles Sanders had one really good year for the most part. I thought he was overrated for the way that people perceived him coming out of Penn State. Is there at all any concern with the running back room or behind this offensive line? They'll be able to find someone to run the football.
Yeah, if they stay healthy, they'll run the football well. That's just how good the offensive line has been. And, I mean, Jeff Stoutland is still the dean of Stoutland University, so I don't see why that would change. Those guys are just going to get better with more experience. They obviously have to shore up the right guard position. We'll see coming out of training camp who's starting there at right guard in between Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson. But as far as the running backs go, if those guys stay healthy, the production will be there. The production will be there. Now, I'm a DeAndre Swift fan. I was excited when the Eagles traded for him. I love that move. But here he's going to get a chance to prove he can be a bell cow back. He didn't get that opportunity in Detroit. He had to split reps. It'll be interesting to see how they use him. We know what Penny has shown when he's been healthy. But there's a lot that has to go into a running back that has had those types of injuries throughout his career in order, if you're looking for him to stay healthy throughout 17 games. So, and I love Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott where they are. We'll see what Trey Sermon brings to the table as a young player that's still trying to find his way in this league. But man, DeAndre Swift to me is the key because he's a guy who has the ability on third down to be effective, also catching the ball out of the backfield. It's been a while since we had a back that can run and catch the ball out of the backfield. And so I think DeAndre Swift has that ability, and I think he's looking for the opportunity to prove that he's that caliber of player. So he's a guy that I'm definitely excited about, and Rashad Penny is one of those signings where there's low risk and high reward there for him.
And I'll just throw this out there. I don't know if it makes sense right now, but the longer Dalvin Cook is out there on the market, if he gets at a significant discount, I wouldn't put anything past Howie.
Wow. Listen, you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's the type of move that nobody sees coming.
That Howie makes.
Yeah, so I wouldn't put it past him. Man, I've been a Dalvin Cook guy since he came out of Florida State in that great draft back in 2017, I believe it was, when all those running backs came out. So he's one of the guys I've always liked. I'd be surprised if he was here. But then I guess I shouldn't be surprised if it's Howie Roseman that makes that move.
And let's get to the final down. All righty. Are the 49ers the only team in the NFC that actually intimidates you a little bit?
Wow. Intimidate. Now, you know, listen, that word doesn't even resonate with me right there when you say it. When we're talking about the Eagles, we're talking about football. So I'm acting like I didn't hear the word intimidate.
Fine. The only legitimate competition in the NFC. Is that better for you, Ike Juice?
Yeah, that's better for me right there. That's better for me because at least I feel okay giving you the answer. So, especially with the team that I'm thinking of. So I honestly think that the Dallas Cowboys have a legitimate chance of being the second best team in the NFC.
Wow.
My early prediction is Eagles-Cowboys, South Philadelphia, NFC championship game. Because I look at the Cowboys and I say, the quarterback position is solidified for them. They are sort of flying under the radar. There's some pressure on them. I could see them sort of winning 11 or 12 games. We'll see if that's enough to win the NFC East. But, like, if I'm looking at everybody else's quarterback position in the NFC, I can't necessarily put anybody ahead of, obviously, the Eagles are number one. But, like, Dak is probably the second-best quarterback in the NFC. I mean, you could go Jared Goff. You could go Geno Smith.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Like, but
you hold your nose at all those guys, let's be real.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm damn rooting for the Cowboys or anything of that nature.
Yeah, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. I just think if I'm not picking the 49ers, to be that team they face in the NFC Championship game. I would think the team they most likely would face if the playoff matchup set up right, it would be the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have a chance of being the one team that could challenge the Eagles. And it's primarily because they play them twice a year. They're used to seeing the Eagles.
Do you think there's a chance that the Cowboys could win the division this year?
Only because of that crazy 20-plus year thing where nobody's won the division 2 years in a row, and I don't see the other two teams. I don't see the Giants or Washington winning the NFC East, so it's definitely going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys.
Well, if we do get an Eagles-Cowboys NFC Championship game, I would love to see Deebo Samuel have a crucial drop against the Eagles or the Cowboys. I would love that. That would be fun. Just like how he dropped my phone call, I hope he turns into like Quez Watkins in the Super Bowl dropping passes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I heard about that, man. Deebo hung up the phone on you, man. What's going on there?
I just asked him a few questions about the Eagles. He's running his mouth. It's funny. You don't want to talk about it anymore, Ike. It's funny how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the 49ers certainly have they've done their fair share of complaining about what happened in the NFC Championship game this offseason.
He's Ike Reese. Ike, always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Zach, for having me. Go Birds!